Our scripture reading this morning begins, it's all in Mark. It begins at the beginning. You know, Mark spends a lot of time in the early part just giving us the facts. Just the facts, man, just the facts, okay? Then he gets to Holy Week and he opens up and he gives us a lot of detail. So we're going to begin in the first chapter of Mark, or the 14th chapter of Mark with the first 11 verses. Then I will speak a little bit and then we will hear Mark's rendition of the Passion story. When they were approaching Jerusalem at Bethpage and Bethany, near the Mount of Olives, he sent two of his disciples and said to them, "Go to the village ahead of you, and immediately as you enter it, you will find tied there a colt who has never been ridden. Untie it and bring it. If anyone says to you, 'Why are you doing this?' just say this, 'The Lord needs it,' and we'll send it back immediately." They went ahead and found a colt tied near a door outside in the street. As they were untying it, some of the bystanders said to them, "What are you doing, untying the colt?" They told them what Jesus had said, and they allowed them to take it. Then they brought the colt to Jesus and threw their cloaks on it, and he sat on it. Many people spread their cloaks on the road, and others spread leafy branches that they had cut in the fields. Then those who went ahead and those who followed were shouting, "Hosanna! Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the coming kingdom of our ancestor David. Hosanna in the highest heaven." Then he entered Jerusalem and went to the temple. And when he had looked around at everything, as it was already late, he went out to Bethany with the 12. Word of God to the people of God. Again, we want to welcome those of you who are here with us in worship this morning, those who are here in the house and those who are online. Hosanna! Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. The triumphant entry into Jerusalem begins the holiest of weeks. The disciples and Jesus had much in store for them in the week ahead. God has much in store for Good Shepherd United Methodist Church in 2024 as we come alongside each other, traveling this exciting journey of discovery together. Thanks for being with us. Let's wave to each other this morning so that we can make the family connection with those here in the house and those who are online. If you see folks that you don't recognize or somebody you haven't seen in a while, we ask you to give them a warm Good Shepherd welcome. Don't forget to comment if you're online so that we know you're here. And it's okay if you're here if you want to shout out and sing your praises. It's really okay. I'm Pastor Regina, and I look forward to spending this next few minutes with you. During our Lenten journey, we have spiritually prepared for this moment of excitement as we enter Jerusalem with Jesus. Hopefully, we've taken an opportunity along the way to repent of our wrongdoings. Maybe we've reconciled ourselves to others that we may have had grievances with. Hopefully, we've also recognized our need for self-examination, our need to offer forgiveness, and our restored faith as we journey toward the cross. At best, spending time in prayer, studying God's Word, and fasting from distractions that keeps us from God has strengthened our faith and our devotion to God. The depths of love as we enter the Passion of Jesus has helped us discover just how much we are loved and in remembering that all is not lost with Christ. Love's true meaning has been revealed to us in various ways as we have journeyed to the cross. The call and responsibility to unconditionally love others as we have been loved is made real to us. Jesus' example to resist temptation in the wilderness reminds us just how much we are loved. Taking up our cross for the sake of the gospel teaches us that when we choose to follow Christ, we are called to an uncomfortable place of unconditional love, to defense of mercy and justice, and wherever else obedience calls us to go. Like those first disciples, we sometimes misunderstand just who the Messiah is meant to be and in turn what his followers are called to be. The work we do in the world should reflect a reflection of our worship. Like the first century of worships, we sometimes take worship to a place it was never meant to be. We make it about us and we try to overshadow God. We forget that we have the responsibility to come to worship in right presence. It's through Jesus' righteous anger with first century worship that we learn what true worship is all about. True relationship with God demands unconditional commitment to God. Even when religious practices and traditions of faith rub against the ever-changing ways God calls the church to operate in the 21st century, we cannot let this conflict keep us from practicing our faith. As we believe love triumphs over condemnation, as we believe Jesus to be the light that overcomes the darkness of the world, and as we trust that God sent God's Son Jesus to demonstrate those truths in the world, we remember that we too are beloved children of God. It's through believing that God calls each of us to be servants of love that we honor God. Our Lenten journey is coming to a close. This week will present many opportunities for us to walk with Jesus in that final earthly journey to feel Jesus' passion. Today we're caught up in the crowd of well-wishers and celebrants who believe their Messiah has arrived. They had no idea the Messiah that they wanted was very different from the Messiah that they received. The kingdom they wished for was far from the kingdom to which Jesus came to reign. Before the week is over, that same jubilant crowd is crying, "Crucify him! Crucify him!" But as that jubilant crowd shouted Hosanna, a common word of royal psalms, the typical understanding of this statement was one of celebration, a shout of joy and welcome. The original meaning of Hosanna was save us, or save now, or save please. The people were seeking to be saved. From what? The tyranny of the Romans? The oppression of their own religion? Will this Messiah do? The crowd was sure of what they wanted, but uncertain of what they needed. Most who shouted Hosanna that day had no idea what was happening. The Messiah that came offered a different kind of salvation, a different kind of kingdom, a different kind of ourselves in that same predicament when it comes to our faith practices. Let's look a moment for what it meant to be a part of the crowd. Think about a parade that you've witnessed or attended. I want you to complete this sentence, and when you complete this sentence, just shout out the answer. It wouldn't be a parade if it didn't have... Okay. Maybe the answer is balloons or clowns. Maybe it's floats or shriners. It could be horses or bands. But this parade was different. Yes, it was a first century parade, but it had some traditional elements for the time. It was much like a victory parade for the king. People were placing their cloaks on the ground and waving blankets as Jesus rode into Jerusalem on a colt. This display of pageantry mirrored and completed ancient prophecies that were tied to the Messiah. The words and titles shouted by the crowd, like Son of David, recalled a time when King David ruled and the nation was secure. He ruled with justice and compassion and hope. Comparisons to a prophet brought to mind ancient figures such as Moses. The crowd was primed for a change to take place as Jesus came into the city. Was this parade planned, or was it an accidental occurrence? Who knows? The answer has been debated by scholars forever with no definitive answer. What we do know is that Jesus spent the first part of Mark's gospel telling folks not to reveal who he was. But Jesus is now participating in this huge display, announcing that Jesus is here and who Jesus was. The crowd is gathered. Jesus is riding on a donkey. Shouts of Hosanna, blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord, fill the air. None of these occurrences were random. When kings go to war, they ride horses. When they come in peace, they ride donkeys. This statement of peace was further enhanced because the donkey on which Jesus rides into the city was previously unridden. The words spoken are ancient ones from the royal Psalms that are spoken when kings come into power. It's ironic that a perceived outsider was being declared powerful and given authority by the crowd as he enters the seat of authority and power. The King of Kings and Prince of Peace enters this royal city, and the authorities are after his life. What does this royal entrance mean for us today as we stand in the crowd waving our palms, declaring our allegiance to the Prince of Peace? Even though the world tried to destroy him, we know the rest of the story. But let's not rush too quickly into the last chapter of this story. There's still much to experience. The crowd will change perspective and attitude over the next few days. Remember, we are still in the crowd. The world, as the crowd knew it, was about to be turned upside down. Let's hear Mark's rendition of how that passion played out. These verses are several from chapters 14 and 15. It was 2 days before the Passover and the festival of the unleavened bread. The chief priests and the scribes were looking for a way to arrest Jesus by stealth and kill him. For they said, not during the festival, or there may be a riot among the people. Then Judas Iscariot, who was one of the 12, went to the chief priest in order to betray him to them. When they heard it, they were greatly pleased and promised to give him money. So he began to look for an opportunity to betray Jesus. Immediately, while he was still speaking, he being Jesus, Judas, one of the 12, arrived. And with him, there was a crowd with swords and clubs from the chief priest, the scribes, and the elders. Now the betrayer had given them a sign, saying, "The one I will kiss is the man. Arrest him and lead him away under guard." So when he came, he went up to the one at once and said, "Rabbi," and kissed him. Then he laid hands on him. They laid hands on him and arrested him. When it was noon, darkness came over the whole land until 3 p.m. At 3:00, Jesus cried out with a loud voice, "Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani," which means, my God, why have you forsaken me?" When some of the bystanders heard this, they said, "Listen, he's crying out to Elijah." And someone ran, filled a sponge with sour wine, put it on a stick and gave it to him to drink, saying, "Wait, let us see whether Elijah will come and take him down." Then Jesus gave a loud cry and breathed his last. And the curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. Then when the centurion who stood facing him saw that in this way he breathed his last, he said, "Truly, this man was the Son of God." After the parade, after the celebration, after the Passover meal, the atmosphere changed. Celebration became sadness. Power shifted back to where it originated. Order, as authorities and subjects knew it, was restored. The worldly principalities were back on the throne, or so they thought. It's because of this reversal from merriment to misery that we cannot stop today's story with a parade. We must move from palms to passion. We are reminded that there is risk involved when we step out of the unknown, out of the known to the unknown. It could be dangerous for our reputation. When we leave the comfortable for the discomfort of change, we could jeopardize our position. When we choose to love those who the world tells us to ignore, we might face consequences. When we listen to the unheard voices of the perceived voiceless, it might even be hazardous to upset the status quo. We might even find ourselves alone in the crowd. It might seem foolish to step away from the crowd and follow Jesus from the parade to the way of sorrow, from the back of a donkey as a king to hanging on the cross as a criminal, or from shouting Hosanna to crucify him in only a few days. That's what loving Jesus calls us to do, to cling to a hope in a hopeless world, because we know who gives hope. Loving Jesus calls us to embrace life in a world obsessed with death, because we know who offers us eternal life. Loving Jesus causes us to proclaim Easter joy in a Good Friday world. So wave your palms, shout your hosannas, be foolish for Jesus, even though we still have a long week ahead in our journey. As we move into a time of communion this morning, let us remember that this meal was significant. This meal instituted an opportunity for us to sit here today and remember what Jesus has done for us. Our humanity causes us to mess up. That's just who we are. So let's take a moment this morning to offer God those things for which we have pulled ourselves away from Him. The Lord invites to His table all who love Him, who earnestly repent of their sin and seek to live in peace with one another. Therefore, let us be confessional of the sins that keep us from God. Merciful God, we confess that we have not loved You with our whole heart. We have failed to be an obedient church. We have not done Your will. We have broken Your law. We have rebelled against Your love. We have not loved our neighbors, and we have not heard the cry of the needy. Forgive us, we pray. Free us for joyful obedience through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Hear the good news. Christ died for us while we were yet sinners. That proves God's love toward us. In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give our thanks to the Lord our God. It is right and a good and joyful thing, always and everywhere, to give thanks to you, Almighty God, Creator of heaven and earth. In love, you made us for yourself. And when we had fallen into sin and became subject to evil and death, your love remains steadfast. You bid your faithful people cleanse their hearts and prepare the joy for the Easter feast, that, renewed by your word and sacraments and fervent in prayer, works of mercy and justice, we may come to the fullness of grace that you have prepared for those who love you. And so, with your people on earth and all the company of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Holy are you, and blessed is your Son, Jesus Christ, whom you sent in the fullness of time to redeem the world. He emptied himself, taking the form of a servant, being born in our likeness. He humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even death on the cross. He took upon himself our sin and death and offered himself a perfect sacrifice for the sin of the whole world. By the baptism of his suffering, death, and resurrection, you gave birth to your church, delivered us from slavery to sin and death, and made with us a new covenant by water and the Spirit. On the night in which he gave himself up for us, he took bread, He broke the bread and gave it to his disciples and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." When supper was over, he took the cup, gave thanks to you, gave it to his disciples and said, "Drink from this, all of you, for this is the blood of the new covenant poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." And so, in remembrance of these, your mighty acts in Jesus Christ, we offer ourselves in praise and thanksgiving as a holy and living sacrifice in union with Christ's offering for us as we proclaim the mystery of faith. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. Pour out your Holy Spirit on us gathered here and on these gifts of bread and wine. Make them be for us the body and blood of Christ, that we may be for the world the body of Christ, redeemed by his blood. By your Spirit, make us one with Christ, one with each other, and one in ministry to all the world until Christ comes in final victory and we feast at his heavenly banquet. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, with your Holy Spirit, in your holy church, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty God, now and forever. Amen. If those who are assisting me will come forward, please. Serve by intention this morning. They will take a piece of bread, hand it to you, and you will dip it in the cup. The altar is open for all who wish to pray. We have gluten-free options and single-serve options if you're not comfortable with intention. And we know that this is the table of Christ. It is not the United Methodist table. It is not Good Shepherd United Methodist Church's table. This is a meal which Christ prepared for you. All are welcome. Let us come.
Do you feel the world is broken?
We do.
Do you feel the shadows deepen?
We do.
But do you know that all the dark won't stop the light from getting through?
We do.
Do you wish that you could see it already through? Is all creation groaning?
It is.
Is a new creation coming?
It is.
Is the glory of the Lord to be the light within our midst?
It is.
Is it good that
Thank you.
from this place knowing Jesus the Messiah is the Lord of all, and share that with the world. Go in peace.
Jesus Messiah, name above all. Jesus Christ.